We're going to continue in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 in the same format as we had this morning. So if you have comments, please raise your hand and let Brother Chris give you the mic. We need to begin at verse 8 in chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with them of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And this is the first remarkable thing of faith that is mentioned about Abraham. The journey which he undertook was then a long and dangerous journey. The distance from Haran to Palestine by a direct route is about 400 miles. He was going among strangers and people that had a bad and wicked and evil reputation. He was leaving country and home and friends, everything he knew, everyone he loved. He had no legal right to the country which he went to receive, and he went with no power to take it. But he went with confidence that it would be his. He had no means of obtaining that possession on his own. He had no wealth to purchase it, no armies to conquer it, and no title to which could be taken before a magistrate of the land. It is quite probable that what Abraham was doing might have been treated by the friends and family he left as a perfectly insane thing to do. The whole event, if we look at it, was in the highest degree an act of simple, trusting confidence in God and His Word. Believing God and acting and behaving and doing as if it was true and reasonable. So it's just so much could be said about this thing. And one of the hardest things to do when we're talking about a change of life, because that's what Christ calls us to do when we first believe, change your life, change your thinking, change your practices. Leave the things that are dragging you down. Leave the things which are of no profit and value to the soul. And I have found through the Word, I have found in my own experience, if we forget about those things in the past, which have tormented us, which have caused us to fear, which have caused us to sin, forgetting that all and press forward to the mark of the high calling of God, we can do it. You can do it. With all things are possible with God. If God said it, He will do it. And we can trust in that every day, every step, in the things we try to accomplish for Him. And we're going to go through this list. A lot of people said, you need to get someone else. I'm not the person for this. The odds are too great. I'm too weak. I'm too whatever. But God gives us a spirit that says, I can do all that God asked me to accomplish to do. Abraham was no different than any of us. And God asks us today to leave things behind. And maybe we say, I can't do it. I'm too attached. They mean too much to me. This man left everything on the basis of the Word of God. And the Bible tells us, if Abraham could do it, so can you. You know why? We're the sons of Abraham. We're the sons of faith. If we have the faith that Abraham had, we will please God. We'll be accepted. We'll be successful. We'll be victorious. And we may be called the friend of God. But we can't be defeatist. We can say, you know what? I've been a failure. I've been a backslider. I've been a guy that couldn't put things behind me and get over them. But you can't. Is it easy? No. But you can overcome your past. You don't have to be defeated by it. Stand. Romans 5, that's what he gives us, the ability to stand. To stand and do and accomplish the things that God wants us to do in His Word. Abraham did it, and so can we. Hebrews 11, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She was 90 years old and past the time for which a woman could conceive and bear a child. Abraham was 100 and in that same state. Verse 11. Therefore sprang there even of one, Abraham, and him as good as dead, so as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sea, as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. So it said somewhere traditionally that Abraham was the father of 30 nations. He had 8 sons. Two grandsons, Isaac and Esau, and from them sprang nations as well. And I don't know. I would say there's more sand in the seas than there is stars in the sky. That'd be my guess. So the physical family of Abraham were as the stars of the sky. Spiritual family of Abraham is as the sand in the sea. That's how I would look at it. And that is you and I, if you are a believer in the living God and have obeyed His gospel through Jesus Christ, His Son. We're His family. If we have that faith, then we have the faith of Abraham. Verse 13, and we could say more. Romans 4:16, Galatians 3:7-9, these all speak that we are of the seed of Abraham. That's who God was talking about in Genesis chapter 12. Can you believe that? Over probably 4,200 years ago. And here we are, recipients of that ancient promise. Verse 13. All these died in faith, not having received the promises, meaning the promises fulfilled, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So, that's the substance. They saw them. They were seen by them afar off. And they were persuaded. Now it's evidence. That's what faith is. I could see them. They weren't fulfilled in me. But I have the substance and the ownership that what God said I would have. They're there. Genesis 23:4 talks about Abraham. His wife died. And he wanted to buy a little plot to bury his wife in. And he admitted to the sons of Heth that I'm just a stranger here. And you know, he traveled a lot. But he had something else in his mind. A city whose builder and maker was God. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that seek a country. We sing a song, this world is not my home. And that's the secret of being detached from all the things that can ensnare us. To know that this place is not my home. I'm looking for a different country, a better one. Verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If they wanted to go back, they could. But they believed in the promises of God. And Abraham traversed that country. But in his heart, he was looking for one that was a heavenly one. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And that's where we stand today. Literally, that's where we stand. This is not our eternal dwelling place. It has no future for us. You know, a lot of our friends have passed on. And eventually we all will. And that, for me, is a good thing. We won't be strangers there. We won't be out of place there. Everything will be joy, peace, and love. Things that we can embrace and live happily forever after. Verse 17. Two great things Abraham did. He left everything behind and went to a land which God said he would someday possess. And this was the second, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so this is how Abraham looked at it. God gave me a son in my old age. I was dead. Sarah was dead as far as fruitfulness is concerned. And God gave us a son. And God said, it is in your son Isaac that all these promises I have told you will be fulfilled. And then God said, I want you to offer him up. And there's two great things Abraham did. He went and offered his son, had the knife raised in his hand. But before he went up to the mount, do you know what he told his servants? You wait here, and Isaac and I will go sacrifice, and we will return. Wow. Is that trusting God or what? He asked us today to put to death ourselves. Bury him in baptism and rise up a new man. And we fail sometimes. We do wrong things. But God said, if you are faithful to confess those things and willing to turn away from them, your sins will be forgiven. And just walk daily with confidence that if I just do what God asks us to do, everything will work out just fine. If we understand that the promises of God will not fail, God will never fail us. And if we put us in his hand, the Apostle John said, there is nothing that can snatch them away. Nothing. You know, people say, I couldn't do what Abraham did. Well, you could if you had the faith that Abraham had. He does not ask us to do anything which is impossible for us to accomplish in life. But we have to stand up on the promises of God. Stand up and do. Verse 20, Bill.
And we're heirs to the same promise, not the physical promise that was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but to the spiritual promises of spiritual Israel. As Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob traveled along, they could see God working with them and through them as they went along. And as you said, today we can see God working with us through his word if we study and know it. And obey it, we can see, as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did, the promises down the road that would be fulfilled, and we can see the same thing.
Yeah. And the land that we're to possess is a new heaven and a new earth and a heavenly city, Jerusalem.
I really like the way you express that. I think as we look at Noah and Abraham, and I think it's for us, it's a benefit for us if we would look at our life as a journey. We're journeying into a heavenly city.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't know the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
We're classified as citizens of a town, a country, a nation, but our citizenship in heaven. And I know people that have left friends, left family, have went somewhere, started over, and they took their faith with them.
Mm-hmm.
And look at it as a journey. Mm-hmm. We're journeying towards heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something. And like you say, we're the same people. God loves us as much as He ever loved Abraham. And we can do incredible things. Verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And we can look back at Genesis 27. I'm not going to take the time to do that. Verses 26 and 40 in particular. And Isaac pronounced a blessing on them as to their future condition. Their future would hold. And this was by faith in God alone, who had communicated those things to him. He did it in full confidence that he would accomplish all that he predicted. And if we look at the prediction that they received, each one as individuals, we see that they did come true. So there was only one way that Isaac could have made that pronouncement on his son, was through faith. God said it, and he pronounced it, and it came true. Did that by faith. Verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon his staff. And this was when Jacob said, "Don't leave me in Egypt." They knew, Jacob knew, that in the future, the children of Israel would be leaving Egypt, and he wanted to go to the promised land with them. And so he knew Joseph wouldn't be there. So he made Joseph, and he made his son swear by an oath that when the time came, they would take his bones and bury them in the promised land. And Jacob knew that would happen. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. So Joseph did the same thing. And we know that this was accomplished later on in the book of Exodus. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months with his parents. Anybody remember the parents' names? Pardon? Amram. I forgot the father's name. I had to look it up. Amram and Jochebed. Because they saw he was a proper child. And and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. In Acts 7:20, I want to see what Stephen said. Stephen said, "In which time Moses was born, and was exceedingly fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months." I think the Septuagint says he was appealing to God. He was pleasant to God. And I think the meaning here is that God had a mission, predetermined mission for Moses. He was the man who he would choose to do a very remarkable deed. Anyway, the parents saw in Moses perhaps something that God was going to do remarkable things for her, for him. And so, against the wishes of the strongest man on the face of the earth at that time, said, we're going to keep this child and nourish him and save him for God's work. So, in time, why did they do this? Well, number one, and here's an important thing about faith. The command of Pharaoh to destroy all the male children was wrong. It was absolutely wrong. And you know, sometimes governments make laws and regulations for us, and sometimes they're just plain wrong. And the children of faith should not do wrong things. That's what faith does for us. So Amram and Jacob had faith to save this child. They had so much confidence in God as to defy the orders of the most powerful man on earth at that time. As they wanted to save the child, as he grew, they found it was impossible to conceal him. And he might be found. You know how toddlers are? It's hard to conceal it if you have a toddler in the house. What can we do? And you know what they did? They left it up to God. They put that child in an ark, a little basket. They set him afloat near one of the princesses of Egypt. And Moses found favor in the eyes of that princess. And he was raised up as a son of Pharaoh. They cast their lot upon the waters and let God work it out. And God worked it out in such a mighty, mighty way. 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. All that honor, all that prestige, and all the privileges that went with being a member of the most powerful family on earth at that time. And can you imagine that? He turned his back on all that, gave it up, walked away, so he could be identified not with the world, but with God's wonderful people. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And you know, that is what life really is all about. What you gonna have? Everything on earth, which is gonna be wiped out in the twinkling of an eye? Or cast your lot with God's wonderful people and the wonderful future He has planned for them. That's what He did. I'm going to be with God's people and cast my lot with them. 26. esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of the treasures in Egypt. We always wondered about that verse, about how did he know about the reproaches of Christ? Well, Paul was writing this, and he was writing to contemporaries. He was writing to Jewish Christians who knew exactly what it meant to suffer the reproaches of Christ. And that's what Paul is saying. Moses did the same thing. It was not an easy thing to say, I will leave this most powerful house in the world and cast my lots with the slaves in the fields of Egypt. And that's what he did. Not easy. It takes faith. It takes trust. It takes confidence that God said it and he can do it. And we can have that same confidence because that's what faith is. It's confidence to do the Word of God, knowing that he will enable me to be able to do it, to overcome everything. He had faith in the messianic promise of Christ, the Messiah. And Paul was implying that Moses received the same reproach Christ did. 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Man, that's a key to life. Don't be afraid of anybody. Put your faith in the Lord and just do what's right. Put your faith in the Lord and just obey his simple commands. Put your faith in the Lord and don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't be disturbed. Don't be moved. I shall not be moved. We sang that song 1,000 times. I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. That's what faith is. That's the kind of faith that Moses had. Verse 27, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. That's another secret of life. Just endure. It will pass. Every cloud has a silver lining. I can get through this because God is with me. I can get through this because God said in his word, I can. You can. You can. And he will reward that. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Kind of what Paul might have been inferring. I can't see God. I can't see the Holy Spirit of promise. But I know he is. And I know he is a God who strengthens and loves and makes all things possible that are good for his children. And he asks you to believe that, trust that, receive that into your life. Be overcomers. Be victors in life. 28. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Of course, he was talking about the children of Israel. So he kept the Passover because that's what God asked him to do. He had a specific way he wanted them to do it. And so he did that, and he instructed his people to do that. And you know what? The angel of death passed over the firstborn of Israel, but claimed all the firstborn of Egypt who did not have the blood of the Lamb on their doorpost. And you know what? That's the same promise He makes us today. Believe me, put your faith in me, believe me, and when judgment comes, the angel of death will pass over you too. And we shall be saved from eternal destruction. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, and we too, if you've been immersed, have been sprinkled by the precious blood of Jesus and saved alive out of this land of bondage. And if we look at this world as being a land of bondage and hardship and sorrow and blood and sweat and tears, if we've been sprinkled by the blood of Jesus, we will inherit an eternal, wonderful existence in the future. A few more minutes. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Boy, you know, it's hard to take steps when we're afraid. That had to be hard to do. The water's backed up in the sea, and you cross over. And you know what? The land is dry. It's not going to be impossible. It's not going to be as hard as I thought. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. And God's telling us today, the journey I ask you to take is not impossible to accomplish. You can do it. Do not be afraid. Take the step, and you'll get to the other side safely. They did that by faith. God asks us to do the same thing by faith. Take the steps that lead to salvation. Take the steps to get the enemy, Satan, off your back and come to the other side, the land of promise. And we're going to stop there, verse 29. Incredible things people of faith have done and accomplished. You can be numbered with them. If you accept the Lord in simple, trusting faith, willing to give up everything to receive His promise and His blessing and His salvation, willing to do whatever it takes, today you can accept Him in simple, trusting faith and be immersed in His name for the remission of your sins. Today you can make a good confession. I will no longer be tossed about. I will stand on the promises of God. I will ask Him to forgive my sins so that I can be accepted and counted worthy of that of which God has promised. Brother Denton, our song of invitation.